Each year, when the staff comes together in Tyler Hall on the afternoon of the third Sunday in July to be trained to lead Foothills Day Camp, everyone arrives excitedly and puts their mounds of gear in the corner. Then they begin to group off and reconnect with folks that they may not have seen for a whole year. Or they find the most inconspicuous place to sit alone, a clear sign that they don't know anyone there. And they begin to distractedly write their names on a round piece of wood, which will be hung with gimp around their necks for the and used as name tags for the next week. Soon, what I consider the most dreaded moment in all large group sessions is what is referred to as icebreakers will happen. Icebreakers, if you've somehow been lucky enough to avoid these sometimes torturous activities, are designed to help people get to know each other by either name memorization or shared commonalities. Sometimes icebreakers involve running around a lot or jumping up or down or other silly activities which are not geared for folks over 30. Sometimes icebreakers don't have any physical component but require mental gymnastics, like accurately remembering the names and favorite colors of the 30 people who have said their name and the favorite color before you. One icebreaker that has become common over the last few years is a forced choice icebreaker. The area is divided in two, and questions are asked, forcing each person to make a snap decision and move to the side of the room with all the other folks who share that preference. For example, a question might be chocolate or vanilla. Everyone who prefers chocolate goes to one side of the room, and everyone preferring vanilla goes to the other side of the room. And this is quite problematic for folks who, like me, are generally decisive but need clarification. Chocolate or vanilla, what? I like chocolate labs and vanilla ice cream. And if you ask me to choose between beaches and mountains, it entirely depends on whether I'm going on vacation or where I'm going to live. Things are just not as clear-cut as chocolate versus vanilla or mountains versus beaches. There's no room for gray in this or blurry lines. And I think more often than not, there's a lot more gray and blurry lines than a clear-cut either or. Over the last few weeks, we've been hearing readings from our scripture known as wisdom literature, primarily from Proverbs. And one of the options for our first reading today is from Proverbs, but I chose the reading from the Wisdom of Solomon instead, in part because we rarely read from the Wisdom of Solomon in services, but also because today's reading from Proverbs is an example of one of the most misogynistic pieces of literature ever written. Don't read it right now. However, the passage from Wisdom of Solomon, as well as from James, are complicated as well, because in each reading, an either-or situation is defined. Either you're righteous, wise, and good, or you're unrighteous, ungodly, and doomed to self-destruction. And while in my heart I would like this to be true, that each of us is that clearly defined as good or bad, righteous or unrighteous, wise or foolish, I just don't think that we are either one or the other, but some of all of the above. Sometimes I do the right thing. Say the right thing, think the right thing, or love others in the way that I have been loved, and at other times I totally miss the mark. And the same is true for each and every one of us. I can look around this room and say with an absolutely clear conscience, there is not one evil person in this room. And I can also look around this room and say with a perfectly clear conscience that there is not one perfect person in this room. We aren't either one or the other. We are somewhere on that continuum, and where we fall can change from moment to moment. Again, in our reading from Mark today, Jesus and his disciples are on the move. They're teaching and healing and sharing the healing grace of God with anyone who will listen. Just last week, we heard Peter proclaim Jesus as the Messiah, and in the very next moment be berated by Jesus for not acknowledging the reality of what is really going to happen. That Jesus will be betrayed, crucified, and will rise again on the third day. And as proof that the disciples have not been really leaning in and paying attention to what Jesus has already tried to tell them on several occasions, we hear it again today. Jesus saying to them, "The Son of Man is to be betrayed into human hands, and they will kill him. And 3 days after being killed, he will rise again." The disciples, we're told, didn't understand what Jesus was trying to say, but they, being a bit embarrassed by their lack of understanding, were afraid to ask Jesus for clarification. Furthermore, in a quite human moment, the disciples had been arguing about who was the greatest. Can you envision that? 12 guys going along the road with Jesus, who's healing everyone he can to show them how much God loves them and wants them restored to wholeness and holiness. And these 12 guys are arguing about which one of them is the best, the greatest. And our gut reaction upon hearing this might be to write them off as a bunch of losers. Unrighteous, ungodly, dumb clods who don't deserve to be in the company of Jesus. And yet, that's not Jesus' reaction at all. He doesn't lose his patience with them or yell at them. Jesus probably didn't even roll his eyes at their obvious lack of understanding. What Jesus does is try yet again to show them what the kingdom of God is like, what the love of God is like, and what their lives should look like if they are his followers. He says, "Whoever wants to be first of all must be least of all and servant of all." And to this day, this has absolutely got to be one of the most overlooked passages of Scripture. How many folks can you name right now that are truly striving to be last of all and servant of all? Don't worry too much. Don't break out in a cold sweat or anything if you haven't spent the last week trying to divest yourself of all your power and privilege. There's still time and hope and Jesus, who did not excommunicate the disciples for their lack of understanding, who did not separate himself from them like a sheep from the goats. He kept with them and loved them and reassured them of God's love for them over and over and over. And you know what? They were not perfect, but they were trying. And in the end, they did understand, and they spread the good news of the love of God in Jesus throughout the world. That same Jesus loves each and every one of us. Righteous sometimes, unrighteous sometimes, good and getting it right on some days, and totally messing up on others. But as long as we keep trying and coming back to Jesus, he will continue to show us God's love for us over and over and over again. And probably in the end, we'll get it right too. Thanks be to God. Amen.